God's channel of blessing. And the channel of blessing that the Lord was pleased to use was, as we considered last Lord's Day morning, this woman of Samaria. And she met the Lord at Jacob's well. The Lord opened her heart as well as opening her eyes to see the one who was speaking to her. And this dear woman desired the living water that the Lord Jesus was able to give to her. She became a channel of blessing. This woman of... We noted last week that she was an unlikely channel. We said unlikely because, after all, she was a woman of Samaria, and the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. She came from the city of Sychar, and this woman was yet chosen by the Lord to bring the gospel to Sychar. We noted further she was an unknown channel because we're not given her name. We don't know who she was other than she was a woman of Samaria. Now we know from our church history books the names of those whom God has used in the past in great revivals. This woman was used in the great revival in the city of Sychar, and yet we're not given her name. That shows us the Lord can use any one of us. He can use any one of us as unlikely channels and as unknown channels. Not known by the world, but known of God. And God can put his hand on any one of us and make us a channel of blessing. Unlikely channel, unknown channel. We noted also she was an unattractive channel. We said unattractive because of what she was in the past. Who would ever have thought that the Lord would have taken up this woman who really was a harlot? And the Lord pointed that out to her. And yet, when the Lord saved her and transformed her life, the Lord made her a channel of blessing. Whatever we were in the past, that doesn't matter now. Because all of our sins are under the blood. We're now acceptable in God's sight, as we noted in our Bible class this morning. The psalmist David spoke to the Lord and referred to him as the God of his righteousness. And we look to the God of heaven, and God is the God of our righteousness. We have received the righteousness of God. And in the eyes of God, it's as if we have not sinned. We stand complete in Christ. And here the Lord took up this woman, unknown, unattractive, and made her a channel of blessing. We then passed on to her witness for the Savior. This woman of Samaria, she became a witness for the Savior. We've noted her readiness there in verse 26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. That is the Christ, the Messiah. The one who's speaking to you. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that is spoken about in the Old Testament. I am he. And we read then, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou unto her? Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She became a witness for the Savior. No sooner had she come to know the Lord than already she's a witness. We noted her readiness. The woman then, once the Lord said, I that speak unto thee am he, then she left her water pots. So she didn't waste any time. She went into the city and told the men of the city about the Lord. Shows us her readiness. How we need to be ready to speak a word for the Lord. We noted regarding her readiness, her haste, because she left immediately. We noted her hindrance. Her hindrance would have been her water pot. She could not have gone into the city except she carried the water pot, as is usually done in Bible lands, upon her head. That would have been a hindrance to her. She was very zealous and enthusiastic about going and telling the men of the city, and so she left the water pot behind. She left all that would hinder her behind. Paul has exhorted us in saying, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let us also lay aside everything that would hinder us from being a channel of blessing in the hand of God. We noted also her home. Where did she go to? Upon meeting the Lord and having her eyes and her heart open, where did she go? She went home. She went and spoke about the Lord at home first. Just like Rahab. Rahab was concerned about her home. Just like Legion, the Lord told Legion, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee. That's where our evangelism must start, at home. So we noted her readiness. That brings us now this morning to her report. The woman returned to her city, and she saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Verse 29. There's her report. Now, regarding her report, I notice it was a sincere report. She was convinced that the man who had spoken to her at Jacob's well was the Christ, the promised Messiah. Now, this is quite remarkable. Remember this. This woman was a Samaritan. And one of the reasons why there was such animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans was that the Samaritans did not accept the books of the prophets. The Samaritans only had the five books of Moses. They did not accept the books of the prophets. And this caused the differences between the Jews and the Samaritans. They would not be reconciled. And that was pointed out. The woman was quite surprised that she, being a Samaritan, should be asked for water by a Jew, namely the Lord. And yet, this woman, who had only been familiar with the books of Moses, found that in the books of Moses there was enough to tell her that the Messiah would come one day, that the Lord Jesus would indeed come. And here you have this woman, and she has the books of Moses, and being a Samaritan, and through the reading of the books of Moses, she recognized the Christ. You recall, of course, as we pointed this out recently, that when the Lord drew near to the two Emmaus disciples, the Lord opened the word to them. He opened the scriptures to them. And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Beginning at Moses. And we say again, so many people have abandoned the Old Testament. They think it's not up to date. How foolish. Christ is in the Old Testament. The Lord himself testified to that. In the books of Moses and in the prophets and in all the scriptures, he expounded unto them those things concerning himself. And this woman saw Christ in the books of Moses. And when he ministered to her at Jacob's well, she recognized him as the one she'd read about. And it was a very wonderful testimony that she gave. It was a sincere report. Because she said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. That's how she recognized Christ as the Messiah. That's what she said when she went and spoke to the men. She said, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? This must be the Christ, because he told me everything I did. This was the Lord. And the Lord was able to tell her all things that ever she did. Look again at verse 26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Look closer. You'll notice in the verse 26 regarding the word spoken by Christ, the word he is in italics. That means in our authorized version, anything that's in italics is not in the original, but our honest translators put those words in to give sense to the verse. Now look at it. I that speak unto thee am he. You take the first word and the last word of this sentence, what do you have? I am. That's how he was able to tell the woman all that she had ever done, because he's the great I am. And that's what this woman recognized about Christ. because she said, come see the man who taught me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is this not Jehovah, the great I Am? God manifest in flesh. And the one who stood before the woman that day revealed himself as God manifest in flesh. Because, look at verse 6. John 4, verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, and cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. So what we have in verses 6 and 7 tell us that Christ is man. He was weary. He was thirsty. He needed refreshment. He's man. But then later he was able to tell the woman all that she had ever done. What does that tell you? It tells you he's God. Put the two together. He's the God man. Two distinct natures in one person. God forever. What a wonderful picture of Christ we have here. And what a wonderful picture of Christ the woman of Samaria had. That she recognized him as the great I Am. Because that's how she spoke about him. The one who told her all things. And the only person who could tell her all things is God, the great I Am. Notice also, it was a simple report. She just told the men of the city about the Lord and what he had done for her. That's what she told them. Come see a man which taught me all things that ever I did. And then she presses it home. She says, is this not the Christ? Is this not the one that many have been waiting for? Is this not the Messiah? It was just a simple report. You look at the words of this woman. The words that she told the men of the city contained there in verse 29. You look at it, and the youngest child here today can understand those words. Simple report. Well, that was only to be expected. Because this woman had just met the Savior. She didn't relate to the men of the city a theological discourse about Christ and who he is. She just simply said, come see a man. He's told me all things that ever I did. That's what she said. You turn to John 9. And there in John 9, regarding the man who was born blind, the Pharisees hunted and hounded him because they didn't want to believe that the Lord had given this man his sight. And we read in John 9 and verse 10. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Simple report. He simply told the Pharisees what had happened to him. He simply told the Pharisees what the Lord had done for him. That's what the woman did. She simply told the men of the city what the Lord had done for her. Now you go back to John 4. And the words of verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Mark the word. Which testified. In other words, what did the woman do when she went into the city? She gave her testimony. She simply gave her testimony. We have heard individuals give their testimony. And I like it when I hear a testimony that is taken up with what Christ has done for the individual. Sometimes we have heard testimonies, and most of the testimonies taken up with the old life of the individual. And he or she tells us more about their old sinful days instead of their saved days. Well, this woman spoke about Christ. Come see a man. She points to the man. She gave her testimony. That's what she did. Nothing more. And the wonder of it all is that this woman gave her testimony, and as a result, revival came to the city of Sychar. See how the Lord can use a testimony? He brought revival to the city of Sychar through this woman's testimony. You see, you don't need to be a theologian for to be a channel of blessing. You don't need to be a preacher to be a channel of blessing. If you're just sold out to the Lord and you have a testimony of the saving grace of God in your life, God can make you a channel of blessing in his hands. And who knows, to bring revival through your testimony, as he did for this woman. We notice her readiness and her report. Next, we notice her reward. She said to the men of the city, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And look at what we have in verse 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. She said, come see a man. And they went out of the city unto him, unto the man that the woman had spoken about. They came unto him, they came unto Christ. There you have the activity. We pointed out that the disciples had gone into the city to buy meat, to buy bread. They had entered the city, bought their meat, and came back to where the Lord was at the well, Jacob's well. While they were in the city, nothing happened as far of a spiritual nature. They entered the city and left the city as if they'd never even been there. Their visit to the city had no impact on the city at all. One woman went to the city, gave her testimony, and things began to happen. There was a stirring in the city because we read, and they went out to the city and came unto him. There's the activity. This woman's witness, in other words, was greatly rewarded. She said, come, come. Well, what do you know? The man did come. She said, come see a man. And what do you know? They did come and they came unto the man. They came to Christ. How well this woman was rewarded. Just like if we invited someone to church, a friend or a neighbor, and we asked them to come to church and come and hear the word. And we arrive at church and lo and behold, the person we invited is sitting there in the car park. And they come in with us and they sit beside us in the Lord's house. That would be a reward, would it not? We'd be rejoicing. We'd rejoice in saying, the person I invited to church, he or she came to church. But how much greater would that reward be? If that person who came and sat under the preaching of the word got saved, if that person came under conviction of sin and was saved by the grace of God, now that would be a reward indeed. And that's what happened with this woman. Because the men she had invited, they came unto him. They came unto Christ. She was rewarded. Just as the efforts of the four men, four friends of the man sick of the palsy, just as their efforts were rewarded. You call Mark 2, they brought him, he was born of four, in his bed. They brought him to the house, they couldn't get in, they climbed up on the roof, cleared a hole in the roof, let this man down, and left him right at the feet of Christ. And what happened? Their faith in Christ was rewarded. The man was healed. Best of all, the man was saved. Those four men were well rewarded. What a reward it would be for us if we were used to bring someone to church and bring someone to Christ. We'd be a channel of blessing. And when we get to heaven, we would see that individual whom we brought to the house of God, whom we brought under the sound of the gospel, and they got saved. And they will forever thank us for inviting us to hear the gospel. Rutherford, great Samuel Rutherford, said, or through the words of Anne Ross Cousin in this hymn, if just one soul from Antworth should meet me at God's right hand, my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. I am sure there were more than one soul met Rutherford at God's right hand. But he was saying, if just one soul from Antworth, where he ministered, should meet me at God's right hand, my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. Will our heaven not be two heavens as well? If someone whom we spoke to, invited the church, got saved. Notice not only the action, but look at the attraction. What was the attraction? In giving her report, this woman spoke well of Christ. Come see a man. Is not this the Christ? Notice the focus was on the Lord, the person of the Savior. So if we want to be a channel of blessing, then we must focus all of our attention upon the Lord Jesus. We must live for Him, not for ourselves. We live for Him. We look to Him. We labor for Him. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the attraction, you see. Yes, He's altogether lovely. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valleys. He's the bright in the morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the attraction. We don't talk about ourselves. We talk about Christ. Our focus should always be on Him. Because the Lord Himself has told us, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. It's not lifting up the church. It's not lifting up a creed. It's not lifting up ceremonies. It's lifting up Christ. He's the attraction. He should always be the focus of our attention. As we have in the wall behind me, we preach Christ and Him crucified. It's the preaching of Christ that draws souls to the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 8. One of the revivals we will be dealing with, Lord willing, at some time in the future. Acts chapter 8. And there we read in verse 5. Verse 4 we read, therefore they were scattered, that is the apostles, abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. First thing he did. He went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. What was the result? What was the result of preaching Christ unto them? And the people with one accord, verse 6, gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. The hearing came first. And we read in verse 8, and there was great joy in that city, in the whole city, through the preaching of Christ. We can be a channel of blessing if we focus all our attention upon the Lord. We set forth Christ. We don't set forth ourselves. If we go and preach ourselves or set forth ourselves before the eyes of men, they'll see fault after fault after fault after fault. But when they see Christ, there's no fault in him. Now in the last place, we've seen the woman of Samaria. We've seen her witness for the Savior. And now we see her as a winner of souls. Through this woman giving a simple word of testimony, many souls were swept into the kingdom. 1st, there was the conversions to Christ. Isn't it amazing what the Lord can do with the witness and the testimony of an unknown, unnamed, unattractive individual? She went and she spoke about the Lord, and we're told, and they went out of the city and came unto him. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. She was a soul winner. Many of the Samaritans believed on him for the saying of the woman. The Lord had used this woman's witness and this woman's testimony to bring about the salvation of many of the Samaritans, many of them. Yes, we rejoice every time God is pleased to use us to lead one soul to Christ. And here, as this woman was used to lead many to the Lord. God can make any one of us a channel of blessing. Unknown, unlikely, unattractive, yet she became a soul winner. In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little as much. When God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. That's what that woman did. She went in the Lord's name, and the Lord made her a soul winner. But what was done through this woman was only the beginning. It was only the first fruits. Because if you look at verse 40, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days, and many more believed. Because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You think of it. It started off with one soul, the woman of Samaria. Then we read many of the Samaritans believed in him. So from one to many. And then in verse 41 it says, and many more believed. From one to many more. That's revival. But it all started with one. It all commenced with one individual who was willing to leave her water pot and make haste into the city and speak to the men of the city and say, come see a man that's told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? One woman was prepared to witness for Christ. And my, how the Lord blessed her. How the Lord used her. One to many more. Just as we read in Mark 4. And there in Mark 4 and in verse 8, regarding the sower who sows the good seed of the gospel, another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. That was borne out in the life of this woman. Would this not encourage us to pray, make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing my service, blessing. Bless my service. Possess my life. Make me a channel of blessing today. Then you have the confession about Christ. The Samaritans readily confessed to Christ that they had met. We read that there in verse 40. So when the Samaritans came unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Here's the Samaritans now, and they in turn confess Christ. The woman had confessed Christ, now they are confessing Christ. They had come to the Lord, first of all, through the word of the woman. Now what are they taken up with? They're taken up with the word of Christ. So it should be. The Lord can use us to witness and speak to others, and when those others receive Christ as Savior, then they are taken up with the word of the Lord. And you notice something else. After this woman invited the men of the city to come and to see the one who had told her all things that ever she did, the men came. And we don't read anything more about the woman. She, as it were, disappears. She goes away into the background. And we're taken up now with Christ. Now what the Samaritans said, they came to the woman and told her, we didn't believe in the Lord because of your word, because of his word. That's the way it should be. The Lord must have all the glory. The Lord must have the preeminence in all things. and the Lord certainly had the preeminence in all things. As a result, revival came to Sychar. God used the woman to be a channel of blessing. God can use any one of us here today as a channel of blessing. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving and gracious God, we bless thee for the instruction of thy word that makes it clear to us how, Lord, thou canst take any one of us. After all, Lord, thou art the potter and we are the clay. We are not the potter. Lord, thou art the potter. So, Lord, come today and melt us and mold us. Mend us and fill us. May the Spirit of the living God fall afresh upon us today. And, oh, Lord God, make us channels of blessing. Bless those, Lord, who are unable to stay for the table. And those of us who remain, Lord, draw very near. Bless us, Lord, as we return in thy will again tonight. We ask everything in the Lord's name and for his glory. Amen.